Good evening, everyone. Welcome to the Five Tool Show. I am your host, Tanya Mercado. I have my co-host, Karell Cooper from OnTheBlack.com with me. Hello, Karell. How are you?
Hey, Tanya. How you doing? Happy Tuesday.
Happy Tuesday. It's raining and gloomy, though. It feels like baseball is about to start. I don't know. Every time I see rain, I think of baseball. How many times did I sit around, like, in Shea Stadium waiting out a rain delay or something?
Plenty of times.
Let me tell you, I envy ballparks that have the domes because then it's like you don't have to worry about rain delays. Now, or even a retractable roof. Like, I really thought that when they built City Field, they would have had, like, a retractable roof. I mean, this is New York. How many times do we have to deal with the rain constantly? I would love to know how many rain delays in the history of the Mets they've had to deal with.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I've experienced a dome one time, and I didn't like it. But maybe that's because the stadium was terrible. It was when the now Washington Nationals were still in Montreal at the Expos, and I actually went to Montreal to see the Mets play them there one time, and I did not like it at all. So my dome experience wasn't a good one.
Well, okay, wait a minute. You decided to just take a trip to Montreal just to see the Mets play, or were you
No. I was there. I was actually there for work. It just happened to be a coincidence that the Mets were in town. I was like, all right, I'm going to a Mets game in Montreal.
It just happened to be, right?
Yep.
Wow, that's cool. I would love to be able to do that. Like, I would love to see the Mets play in another ballpark if I could.
Well, you can always go see him in Yankee Stadium. That's the closest trip for you.
Yeah. You know what? Actually, City Field, I live in the Bronx. For those of you who don't know, I live in the Bronx. But City Field is actually closer to me than Yankee Stadium. Because I live on, like, the northern part of the Bronx, right by the Whitestone Bridge. So...
Okay.
Going to jump away. And then Yankee Stadium is a bus and two train rides.
Because
Yankee Stadium is in the South Bronx. So that's just way too far for me. And that ballpark is a piece of crap anyway.
Yeah, I'm not a big fan of it.
You went to the new one and the old one, right?
Yeah, I've been to the new one and the old one.
Which one did you like better? Because personally, I like the old one better than the new one. The new one is like a hospital. It's awful.
Yeah. The old one had a lot more character to it. The new one, you said it looks like a hospital. I think when you're walking around the corridor, especially the lower level, it looks like a fancy mall to me. I'm not a big fan of the new one. I definitely think City Field is a much better place to watch a baseball game from as well, too. I'm not a fan of the new Yankee Stadium at all.
Yeah, I have to agree with that. Because I remember going there the first year that it opened, and I'm walking around the ballpark, and I'm like, this is it? This is supposed to be, like, the grand cathedral. I'm like, oh, no, City Field is a much nicer ballpark. And even Yankee fans have admitted to that much. But it's just the Yankees have had more luck in their ballpark than the Mets have. That's true enough.
That is true. The Mets haven't won anything in the new ballpark yet.
You know what? I swear, and everybody laughs at me when I say this, it's the curse of Shea Stadium. Shea Stadium was pissed off because the Mets murdered it. And it was like, all right, so you know what? Now I'm just going to haunt this ballpark for a while. And the Mets are just not going to do anything. So, I swear up and down that it's a curse. People could think I'm crazy, whatever, but there's a curse in there. So, we are going to be joined tonight by Michael McShane from Fan Junkies Radio. Michael Machine also has a YouTube channel, the 5 minutes from the frat house. And they talk all things sports. They talk NASCAR. They talk baseball. They talk football, hockey, all of it. They actually had Kelly Stinnett. Carl, I don't know. Do you remember Kelly Stinnett from the Mets?
I do.
Okay. They had him, and they also had Eric Valence. And Kelly Stinnett had some interesting things to say about the whole steroids thing. And he thinks that any player should be banned from playing the sport on your court. Now, personally, I've always liked the thought of banning a player. This whole thing where, oh, if you're caught once, you get this amount. If you're caught a second time, you get this amount. And then third time, but no, no. And we've had this conversation before. I think if you screw up, that's it, you're done. Because at some point, you have to teach these players a lesson. You know, and Brian Braun, if I hear Brian Braun's name one more time, I'm just going to flip out on the guy. I mean, and then you want to come out and you want to keep on denying it. How many lists is your name going to be on? Well, go ahead, keep denying it. You're the only one who's going to look like an ass. Because at this point, people are starting to question, is he even telling the truth?
Yeah.
You know, so I like what Kelly Stinnett had to say. I agree with the fact that, yeah, you know what, you should just be banned for life and that's it. And so we do have Mike on the line. So I'm going to bring Mike in. I'm going to welcome him to a big party welcome to the Five School Show. Hello, Michael McShane. Welcome to the Five School Show. How are you?
Tanya, thank you. I appreciate you having me on.
Awesome. I have my co-host, Carell, on the line as well.
Carell,
how are you doing?
Good. Thanks for having me on. I appreciate it.
No, thanks for joining us.
I hear you guys talking about stadiums and what have you. I'm going to actually be making my first trip up to Citi Field. This will be my first time there on April 27th. So I will actually get a chance to see your stadium.
Nice. And who are the Mets playing that day?
they're playing my Phils. So I will be able to
see them.
Yep. We got a little interdivision rival going on there. So.
Well, as a Mets fan, I hope you enjoy the stadium, but I hope your team loses.
If that's the worst thing a Mets fan can tell me the day that I'm there, I'll be happy.
Well, we try to keep this a family-friendly show, so.
Yeah, well, until somebody pisses me off, and then it gets all shot to hell.
Well, I'll try not to bring up Ryan Braun, all right?
Yeah, you know what, let's just stay away from, like, Ryan Braun, Barry Bonds, and Roger Clemens. If we can stay away from those guys, then we're probably in a safe area.
I could certainly go off on Ryan Braun myself, trust me. I have now deemed him the 21st century version of Rafael Palmeiro.
I read that when you said that, and I was laughing. I was like, oh, my gosh, I can't believe he actually said that.
Well, that's about where I go with it, trust me.
Okay, well, you know what? At this point, I've given up. I'm like, there's always going to be somebody's name. Somebody's always going to be on some type of list. So at this point, I'm like, you know what? If baseball doesn't want to get, you know, be more strict, then it's never going to be completely cleaned up. So at this point, I'm like, whatever. Let's just play the game. If you're caught, you get suspended. Your team misses out in the playoffs. You miss out on a chance on playing in the playoffs, like what happened with Melky Cabrera last year with the San Francisco Giants. Then you just screwed yourself and you screwed your team. So good luck with that when you try and play with your team next season.
Yeah, it's a double-edged sword, you know, because I guess the thinking has been somebody's always going to try to get an edge, particularly I think in baseball. Somebody's always trying to get an edge, and I think that's been going on for generations and generations and generations in baseball. And the problem is, as much as we disdain it and want to see it cleaned up, the problem is, it's almost as if you kind of get the feeling that it's always going to be there. Now, the question becomes, when do we as fans get to the point where we no longer recognize, you know, where we're just not going to recognize the Barry Bondses and the Mark McGuires and the Ryan Braun's? When are we just not going to recognize them? Or does it have to go the completely opposite direction to the extent where we're going to say, well, look, you know, we can't discern any longer who is and who isn't doing, so just all put them together? And that's the great dilemma.
Yeah, and that's a tough one because, you know, as fans, if you're not going to recognize them, what does that mean? Does that mean you're going to stop going to games, or does that mean you're going to stop buying their jerseys, or are you going to stop watching it on TV? And will fans ever truly, really take a stance like that? Because it's never really happened in baseball, and it's never really happened in any other major sport. The
Excellent.
Flip side of that is, you know, do we really want a level playing field to the extreme of everyone juicing? Because then that takes away from the game too. So it's a very tough dilemma, I think, for fans as well too.
Yeah, I think it's probably just about one of the toughest. The issue was never more crystallized than more recently with the whole situation where we will not have a Hall of Fame class this year.
Yeah.
And the unfortunate part, and Jonathan and I have talked about it on Fan Junkies Radio, the unfortunate part about that is that there were individuals on that list that should have gotten in that probably didn't because they were tainted by the larger group at the top.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, us Mets fans were jumping up and down about Piazza.
Exactly.
The majority of us didn't believe that he didn't get in this year. That's no ceremony this year.
Yep. It's unfortunate.
Yeah.
Listen, we're not even going to get into that because I can flip out on that too. I think it's a disgrace, and I think the fact that Piazza, even though he admitted to using Android and amphetamines, the fact that he's in that same class with so many steroids users, I think it's a shame. And God help him, you know, at some point I really do hope that he gets inducted. Because at the time, what he did wasn't illegal. He didn't do steroids. So I don't see the problem.
I think the unfortunate part is that we live in a soundbite society today where when people hear, and perhaps maybe, Tanya, they're not as knowledgeable perhaps maybe on the specifics of what Piazza was using or not using, if what the soundbite is that all they hear is that he used something, he suddenly then collapsed into that group. And people, those that are uneducated, will sit back and simply say, look, see, they're all doing it.
Yeah. That's a shame. It just upsets me that the way that everything happened. And at some point, I don't know, at some point I hope everything rectifies itself. I hope at some point there's justice.
Yep.
But on another note, because, I mean, we can go all night on steroids.
And
you can ask Carell. I really could go all night on
yep.
this topic.
Well.
But I want to know, because Terry Collins, we all know, last year of his contract. Okay, the Mets already said we're not going to talk about the contract, we're not going to talk extension, we're not going to negotiate or anything, we're going to let the year play out. So what would it take for him to be kept beyond the 2013 season? Would it take the Mets moving up one notch, maybe from fourth place to third place? Would it have to be something drastic like making the playoffs? And would Wally Bassett be willing to even hang around Las Vegas to wait his turn to possibly come up to the big club, if he even has a chance at ever being manager here?
Mm-hmm.
So what do you think?
Well, I, for one, you know, it's a rather similar situation to what we're looking at down here in Philadelphia. Charlie Manuel is in the last year of his contract as well, and there has been no talk from Ruben Amaro down here to extend his contract as well. So it's kind of an interesting situation. I think both managers find themselves in a very, very similar situation with them being so close last year at the end of the season in the division. The Phils were just ahead, really, of the Mets. You know, and we're asking ourselves down here in the Philadelphia region the exact same questions. What is it going to take for Charlie Manuel to be coming back here next year as the manager? 81-81 is what we ended with a record last year. You know, you could probably give me a sentiment of the fan base up there in New York better than I can with regard to Collins. I think it is here's where I think the Philadelphia and Mets circumstances are a little bit different. I think it is unfair if the Mets were to penalize Collins for not having a winning season when he's working with what he's got. Look, the Mets are in a rebuilding season. That's the bottom line. Everybody, I think, who follows the NL East recognizes that. I think your time is to come. I don't think it's this season. And I think to penalize Collins and to say, okay, well, he didn't have a winning season or he didn't make it into the playoffs, so therefore we're not bringing him back, I think would be unfair.
I agree. I mean, personally, I like Collins. I like what I've seen with the club, but at the same time, there's only so much that Collins as a manager can do, because when all is said and done, the game is played on the field. He doesn't play, the players play. So I wouldn't mind seeing Collins getting an extension, but at the same time, I would love to see Wally Backman get a chance at managing this club. And I think he would bring a completely different dynamic. I think it would be more along the lines of New York, more blue-collar, more fire and brimstone. And I think that's something that we miss, because I love Bobby Valentine. I mean, he has that, I'm going to get in your face. I don't care what you have to say. I don't care how many times you throw me out of a game. And I think Wally Backman has that. And Backman does have relationships with some of these guys because he managed them in the minors. So he has great relationships with these guys. So I think it would be nice to have Backman, but at the same time, I wouldn't have a problem with Collins. Carell, what do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I think Collins has done a fine job since he's been the Mets manager, better than actually I thought he was going to do. I think he's getting as much out of the team as he can. There's only been a couple times over the last two seasons where it looks like they may have, like, given up or what have you, but he's got them kind of right back on track from there. And so I think he's fine, and it's more about, to me, watching some of the players that are younger on the team and some of the players that are coming through the organization develop, and then for our GM to go out and fill in the gaps where he can. I mean, I think Collins is a manager that can win if he has the players to win.
Right.
So, you know, I think he's fine. I've got no problems with Collins.
Yeah, that's why I think it's somewhat unfair if, in fact, the fan bases or the management of the Mets team is going to judge Collins by this particular season. Let me ask both of you a question. Since you're closer to the situation, Tanya and Carell, might this be a situation where management is setting Collins up in an effort to purposefully bring Backman in?
No, I don't get that sense. I don't think so. Because if that were the case, they could have done it by now, right? I mean, I don't know what Collins' numbers are in terms of his contract, but he's not making a ton of money, so you know that wouldn't be an issue at all. So I don't think that's the case. I don't get that feeling.
Backman's only been out there in Las Vegas now for what, one season, I believe, isn't that right?
Yeah, I believe it has only been one season. There were rumors that once it was done, he was going to leave the club altogether. He wasn't going to come back because he was hoping to be able to manage the ball club for this year.
Mm-hmm.
But obviously that's not happening because Collins is taking care of it. I think Backman is actually hoping that he'll get the chance in 2014, and I think maybe that's why he's sticking around in Las Vegas. But I think if he doesn't get the shot for 2014, I think he's done, and I think he's going to see if he could get with a major league ball club in another city.
Right.
Well, let's remember, too, I mean, if the Mets wanted Backman to really be the manager of the team, they had a chance to make him the manager. He interviewed for the job the same time Terry Collins did. So, you know, if they really wanted him to be the manager, they could have given him the job a couple years ago.
Boy, if this doesn't sound like Philadelphia, because we got somebody down here sitting in the wings in Ryan Sandberg, and the exact same things have been said from fans down here, that if, in fact, the Phils wanted to make a departure from Manuel, that, in fact, Sandberg, who has apparently expressed interest in the position in the past, he's been sitting there in the wings. They could have already made the move. I'm wondering whether this is a situation in both cases where team management are looking at getting potential heir apparents a little more seasoning.
Well, one of the things that I had suggested that I thought would have been good for this year was instead of having Bachman as a manager for AAA, he should have been a bench coach with Collins. This way, he gets a little bit of seasoning from that area. And then if the Wilpons and Alderson say, you know what, we're going to part ways with Collins and then we're going to bring Bachman in, at least Bachman already knows more or less how things are done on the big league level rather than just in the minors.
That's good thinking.
See, I look at it, the flip side of that is, you know what, if you've got him sitting here on the major league level and you've got the fans – you know, really wanting Wally Bachman because he is a fan favorite, every time Collins makes a mistake that the fans don't like, all you're going to hear is Wally Bachman this, Wally Bachman that. With him not being on the team, you kind of avoid that kind of media frenzy. So it's almost like in the NFL where the favorite is the backup quarterback, and every time the starter makes an error, the fans want the backup in. You know, I think you keep them separate the way you have them, so you can avoid that type of media frenzy.
Isn't it already, though, kind of the chatter up there, Carell? I mean, I've read a number of articles coming out of the New York region on some blogs and in some of your newspapers up there. The talk is already right now about what's the possibility Bachman would be coming in and taking over for Collins. I've read some articles that if Collins falls flat, potentially by, say, the All-Star break, that Bachman could be moved in there at that point.
Yeah, no, it's possible. I just, you know, imagine Terry Collins gets thrown out of the game and then Bachman takes over and the Mets come back and win. I mean, I just think by keeping them separate, you just avoid feeding the fire.
Sure, but I think some of the fire is already starting to be flamed.
Yeah,
I think one of the things is, like, if the Mets don't have, like, a hot start, and if by the All-Star break they're falling behind, I wouldn't mind seeing Collins gone and then just bringing in Bachman. Just calling Bachman and be like, hey, you know what, we want you to take over it from here on out for the rest of the season. And then based on that, you determine if you want Bachman for next year.
Collins is obviously feeling the pressure. I was reading just yesterday one of your newspapers up there from the New York region. Apparently he came in yesterday down there at spring training and gave quite a passionate address to the entire team. That would indicate to me he is certainly feeling a little bit of heat coming down his neck.
But hey, let's switch gears for a second. I got a question to ask you about the Nationals. I mean, you're a Phillies fan, we're Mets fans. Nationals won a division last year, and you know, on paper, it looks like they improved what was already the best team in the National League. You know, from regular season, you know, they've added Soriano to their bullpen, they've added Herron to their starting rotation. Do you think anyone is going to beat the Nationals this year in the NL East?
Well, I made my early predictions up on my website on fredhousesports.net. I made my early predictions, I guess, about two and a half weeks ago. And, in fact, I have the Nationals coming out as the number one team in the National League and going on to the World Series. No, I don't. I don't see anybody. In fact, I frankly think that this team, I think the Nationals can be flirting with 100 wins or more.
Wow. Wow. Yeah,
that doesn't
affect
the fan base at all.
Well, I mean, don't get me wrong. I'm not wanting that. I'm just being as realistic and as analytical as possible.
I agree. I mean, I think they're going to be tough to beat. I think their pitching is going to be great this year. Their starters as well as the bullpen. They're going to score runs. They're going to be a tough team to play all year long. For anyone, they really will. Speaking of tough teams, let me ask you about the team that finished in second in the National League East last year, and that's the Braves. I was surprised that they ended up with both Upton brothers. I think it's a good move for them. And curious your thoughts on the Braves with, you know, those guys coming in and pretty much probably going to be the leaders of that team this year.
No doubt about it. You know, the Braves, I think the Braves' best days are yet to come, just as I do with the Mets. I think the Mets' days, best days are yet to come. I think the Braves' days are sooner in the mirror than your Mets are. I frankly think that the Mets, I've got the Braves right now coming in second in the East, and I have them getting the first wild card. So I have them seeded fourth right now in the National League. I don't think they're near as strong as the Nationals, but I think that they will be. I think that they could potentially, in a year, maybe a season or two, could be pushing for the National League Championship.
Gotcha, gotcha. Tanya, your thoughts on the Braves?
We agree that this is going to be a family-oriented show, right?
Yes,
between the Braves, between the Braves and the Phillies, I don't know if I could keep this at, you know, a minimum PG-13. But you know, as far as I'm concerned, they can both be damned.
Oh yeah, but, sure. It's a matter though of just being analytical about it. You know, that's where I approach it from. I just look at it from the whole standpoint of, you know, I try. Listen, I hate the Braves. I absolutely hate them. Despise them.
Who doesn't?
But, you know, I'm looking at it straight down, as Carell is. I'm looking at it straight down the lineup and saying, okay, let's be realistic here. You know, what's going to be the outcome here in the National League East?
I think it'll be National Braves. It's a toss-up between Mets and Phillies.
Yep.
I'm not sure who will end up in the third spot. Marlins obviously in last place, because I don't think the Marlins have a shot in hell.
Right.
But I think between the Phillies and the Mets, and I'm inching towards giving the Mets the third spot only because they're a younger staff than the Phillies. So I think that it might actually go Nationals, Braves, Mets, Phillies, and Marlins. Even though the Phillies have that solid 1-2-3 in their rotation.
Mm-hmm.
But I think overall, I think they're just very, very old, and Halladay has had some health issues.
Yeah, I was going to say that 1-2-3 wasn't real solid last season.
Yeah, not at all. But from what Chase Utley, Michael Young, the pitching coach for the Phillies, he was also saying that Halladay is looking like the old Halladay.
Mm-hmm.
So,
well, they're always going to say that in February.
Yeah, well, let's see how long it lasts.
Exactly.
But for right now, you know, we'll see. I think right now, I think the Mets are a little stronger than the Phillies.
I couldn't agree with you more, Tanya. I believe that it will go Nationals, Braves. I go back and forth on a daily basis almost, going, okay, is it going to be the Phils or is it going to be the Mets? Absolutely, the Marlins will be in the basement, but the Phils and the Mets are going to be fighting, in my opinion, for third and fourth. I just don't know which way it's going to go. When I wrote up my predictions the other week, I had the Phils in third. I had the Mets in fourth, but that could, frankly, that could be just a matter of a half game or a game and a half, for that matter. The way that I'm looking at it, I'm gonna be perfectly blunt. I think it's very, very possible that the Phillies will not win 80 games. I think that's very possible. I'm not near as optimistic. Trust me, I am not near as optimistic as many of my Phils fans down here in the Philadelphia region.
You think they're going to have a worse year than they did last year? I mean, they just barely made 80. They had 81 wins last year.
Correct. They were 81 and 81.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
They were 81 and 81. And yes, I believe that it is very, very possible the Phils might actually be a worse team than they were last year.
Do you think it'll actually, because this is one of the things that I was thinking about, it might actually come down to the battle of the bullpen. I mean, the Mets have the worst bullpen, but, you know, so did the Phillies. The Mets bullpen last year ended with a 4.65 ERA and the Phillies a 3.94. Mm-hmm. Both clubs tried to improve their bullpens this year.
Yes.
So I think it actually might, because the bullpen is, I mean, if you don't have a strong bullpen, you're not going to do anything. Mm-hmm. So I think it might actually come down to the bullpens over in terms of who will take that three spot.
It's very, very possible. And I do believe, and you're absolutely right, both teams did make improvements in that particular area. I think a lot of it, however, is still going to depend on if the Phils can get solid innings out of their, as you point out, the top three, solid innings from those guys, which they did not get last year from Halliday and from Cliff Lee. If we can get solid innings from them, and if Kyle Kendrick turns out to be a very, very serviceable fifth man in the rotation, where the Phils don't have to rely on their bullpen, then I would say we might take the third spot. If, however, that's not the case, I would give the edge to the Mets. The problem with the Phils is we're just not going to score. We're not scoring. That's our problem. Offense, that's our problem.
Yeah.
Well, we've covered Washington, Atlanta, Phillies, Mets, Miami. Here's the opposite question. Will Miami have the worst record in the National League this year?
How about this? Will Miami have the worst record in all of baseball?
That's true.
I like that one better.
Well,
but I don't
and
think
if,
so. I think that will go to the Astros.
Well, I don't know about that. I'm going to be honest with you. I think the Astros actually made some improvements over the Marlins. And in fact, I posed a question in my write-up on my predictions. I posed a question exactly that way. Will the Marlins, in fact, end up being the worst team in baseball? And if they are, they have no one but to blame but the owner of that team. Who, if, you know, Tanya, it's really funny. You're talking about don't get you started on certain things. Don't get you started. You do not want to get me started on Jeffrey Loria.
Oh, no, by all means, please, air it all out. I got no problem with that.
If I go off on Jeffrey Loria, you're right. It will not stay PG-13 here.
Yeah, well, I think there's a lot of people, especially down in Florida, who have a lot to say on Jeffrey Loria. So I have another question for you. The Mets have a big question mark in their outfield. You know, even they're saying, you know what, the Mets have a better starting rotation right now. They have somewhat solid pitching. So even with their quote unquote solid pitching, how detrimental is it to their chances at competing? And did Alvison make a mistake in not sacrificing their first draft pick for a two-time All-Star and two Gold Glove winner like Michael Bourne for center field?
Oh, boy, that was a long question. Phrase it again for me real quick.
Alvison decided not to go with Michael Bourne.
Right.
The Mets are being, it's being said that the Mets have upgraded their starting rotation. It's a little bit more solid now. But even with that, how detrimental is it that they don't have a solid center fielder like Michael Bourne? Was it a really big mistake in not sacrificing the first round draft pick for Michael Bourne?
I don't know. Do you guys really want Michael Bourne? Seriously, I mean, think about it. Let me ask you a question. I'm looking at a list right now of your 40-man roster and potentially who the outfielders will be. What's the talk? Who's the starter out there in center field for you guys?
You know, that's a very good question.
We don't know yet.
You don't know.
That's a very good question. And
you
know,
I was just
looking at an article earlier today on Grantland, and the headline is Mets outfield could be the worst unit in professional sports and maybe
wow.
all of life.
Oh, geez.
So
I mean,
to answer your question, yes, we wanted Michael Bourne.
Yeah.
You know
wow.
what? I didn't want him. I didn't want him. And here's why. He's not going to make the difference. And I'd rather have the draft pick. They're not going to make the playoffs with or without him. So give me the draft pick, and let's continue to build. And I don't want to tie up money in him.
I kind of agree with Carell on that one. I think you're better off. I think, you know, Jonathan and I were talking about it on Fan Junkies Radio, I guess it was 2 weeks ago when we did our MLB week. I think the Mets are going about this exactly the right way, and this is why I say to you guys that I think your best days are ahead of you. I think building for the future is the way you want to be going with it. I think wrapping up a lot of money and a lot of time in Michael Bourne, I don't know if that's quite the way to go with it. I say take your lumps right now this season, next season, even if you have to, and be looking forward to real promising times in say, 3-4 seasons from now.
Yeah, I don't know about that.
I think we've taken more than our share of lumps since 2006. Thank you very much.
A lot of it, however, Tanya, unfortunately, I think has been a bit of mismanagement. And frankly, I think that what's happening right now is I think your guys are actually on the right track. I think you're building. I think there is an obvious emphasis to build towards the future. Whereas I think before there was a kind of a knee jerk reaction to kind of band aid things. You guys were going through, I'd say, 2-3 seasons ago, what the Phils are going through right now, and that is, how can we take advantage of what we have right now before the window completely closes? And I think that's what you guys were doing about 3-4 seasons ago.
Yeah, listen, I mean, Alderson, as far as I was concerned, Alderson is in his last year for me. I mean, he does nothing for me this year. I want him out. And I have to say, I love what Alderson has done with this team. I love the fact that he's built the team through the minors.
Uh-huh.
And I've always believed in that. I've always said, hey, you know what? The only way you're going to build a dynasty, the only way you're going to get anywhere is if you build from within the farm system. That's the way the Yankees did it, and look at the run that they have.
Yep.
You know, the proof is there. If you have a solid farm system, you're going to be there for years. And Dandy Alderson has that formula, and I think it's a winning formula, and I like what he's done. But at the same time, I think you have to have that combination of seasoned veterans who know what they're doing, and those kids that come up and learn more from them.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is why I wouldn't have minded having Michael Bourne. Don't get me wrong. I don't like the thought of giving up the first round pick either. But at the same time, I would have liked that one solid center fielder.
Well, was anybody
in the outfield?
Was anybody sitting back and questioning? I know that we were over on Fan Junkies Radio for weeks and weeks and weeks. Was anybody sitting back and questioning why Bourne wasn't being picked up by anybody? I mean, obviously, he and his agent were asking way, way too much. His value was way overblown for some reason or another. And to me, I really think that I think you probably, I still contend, I think the Mets probably did the right thing. I understand what you're saying, Tanya, that you'd like to have that situation corrected right now. But I still think that holding off and looking towards the future is probably the better way to go. I don't know. Correll, jump in. Tell me what you think.
Yeah, no, I agree. I mean, they're still building. Again, they've got some young players on the team this year that I'm looking forward to see if they can continue to improve. They got some pitching coming through the organization. I'm all for continuing to build and let's see what happens. Although, you know what, my patience is going to run pretty thin over the next year or two. So let's make it happen sooner rather than later.
I hear you. Let me ask both of you just for the fun of it. If we were all to agree here for a moment that the Mets are a quote unquote rebuilding team, and since Correll just brought it up, I asked the question. How long are you willing to be patient?
I already said this is the last year for me with Alderson. If the team doesn't even move at least one spot in the standings, I'm done with him.
All right, so you'd be happy with them coming in third place in the NL East?
Because at least you're showing me that you're moving in the right direction. Yes, you're building in the future, but at the same time, you have to do something with the current club as well. You can't just be doing what you're doing in the farm system and not do anything for the big league club. I need to see that you're doing something to help this club now.
Okay, now
you have to move in the standings. When you say
you'd be happy with them coming in third place, obviously you want them to do it on their merit, not on attrition. In other words, you don't want them doing it at the expense of the Phils just falling flat on their face and losing. You want the Mets actually winning, right? You want them having a winning record in the third place position, right?
Of course, I want them to earn it. I don't want it to be handed to them.
Yeah.
I want them to go into the season kicking everybody's ass and telling them, you know what, we won this. That's what I want to see.
Well, I don't know, kicking everybody's ass. I don't know, Tanya.
Listen, that's how I see it. That's how I want it. That's how I demand it. And with the blue collar team that the Mets have always been labeled as, that's exactly what I expect.
Well, let me switch this around for a moment. Let's take a look at your starting rotation. R.A. Dickey's not in there. Mike Pelfrey's not in there, right?
Thank the good Lord. I was sick of Pelfrey.
No, not unless you know something we don't know.
Okay. So from what I hear, this is the way your starting rotation might be looking, and this is the latest reports that I got as of this evening. Johan Santana, John Neese, who you got there?
Matt Harvey. Sean
Maycomb, right? Matt Harvey and Dylan G, right?
Yeah, that sounds about right. Yep.
Okay. How does that match up with what you had last season?
I'm looking for
a New Yorker's perspective, that's all.
Yeah, you know what? If you want to compare it to last year, it's probably not as strong at the top of the rotation, obviously, because Dickey's not there. The one thing to me that's still obvious is we lack depth in the starting rotation. You know, if one of those guys goes down, who's going to fill in?
Yep.
You know, because let's be honest. None of us can sit here and guarantee that Johan Santana is going to make it through a full year.
Right.
Dylan G is coming off of an injury as well. Matt Harvey, this is going to be his first year in trying to pitch a full year at the major league level. So I have concerns about the depth of the rotation.
All right. Just curious what your thinking was on it. I mean, you know, I heard some folks talking, you know, R.A. Dickey leaving wasn't that big a deal. I mean, he only really had, what, one and a half good seasons, really great seasons? I don't know. You guys, like I said, would know better than I would, being up there and having your finger on the pulse of it.
You know, I wasn't terribly upset that he left because I understand it and I understand the business side of it. At the same time, you know, he had one of the best years a Mets pitcher has ever had, and he was arguably the best pitcher on that staff for probably the last 2.5 seasons, if not 3 seasons. So I think he's going to be missed, but I get it. You know, let's see what this catcher can do that we got for him,
right.
And let's move on. And again, here's another situation where, you know what, R.A. Dickey pitched the best year of his career last year, and the Mets still didn't make the playoffs. So the flip side of that is we got a young catcher who, if he works out, is going to be the future catcher of our organization, and it's another move that helps us build towards the future if he works out.
And that was a guy, trust me, that I did not want to see leave my club.
Yeah.
And Travis Darnold, yeah. I was very disappointed to see that happen. I've heard a lot of talk about Zach Wheeler.
Yeah, he's probably a second-half guy, depending on what he does down in the minors this year, and if he continues to improve and make his way through the organization. I mean, they're going to get their first look at him now in spring training, but at earliest, I would think he would be a second-half guy, similar to what Harvey was last year.
You don't think he'll actually be on the roster once the regular season opens?
No.
Okay.
I don't think so. I don't think so. There's no need to rush him. I don't think so.
Was he AAA last year or double?
No, he was. I think he ended the season at double.
Okay.
He was not
really?
Triple,
okay.
Yeah.
All right. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's why rush him? I mean, I could be wrong, but I think he did end the year at double last year.
Well, Zach Wheeler ended in AAA Buffalo.
Oh, he did end it in AAA?
Yeah.
Well, I guess that makes sense since the entire Mets AAA team was actually on the Major League roster.
There you go. So whoever was in AA had to move up to AAA.
I guess they really didn't have any choice but to move him to AAA.
Okay. Well, yeah, let me ask, and you know, since we're on the topic, let me ask: could Zach Wheeler be a starter for you guys?
You know, but what? I was actually going to say the same thing, because if Santana goes down, do we see Zach Wheeler this year?
Yeah, I mean, it seems to me, I mean, from the numbers I've seen and from all of the brouhaha I've heard about the guy, it certainly seems to me he could be.
Yeah, I don't know. I would be surprised if he breaks with the club. I would be.
Okay. Well, see, all of these things that we're talking about, I mean, you know, you're talking about the Zach Wheelers, you talked about the Travis Darnold, you've got a lot of things, I think, building into the future of the Mets team. I really do. Now, whether it's all going to gel together and come together for you this year, I don't know. Are you going to get your wish, Tanya, and see them move up a spot? I frankly think you will. I certainly don't think they're going to be rivaling the Braves, though. Not this year.
No, I don't see them rivaling the Braves either. But if you move up at least one notch in the standings, I think Mets fans will actually be happy. Like, holy mother of pearl, look, we actually moved up in the world.
Mm-hmm.
I think that would get Mets fans excited. I mean, yeah, they're excited about the future and what have you, but I think actually seeing something happening with the big league club will get the fans even more excited, and maybe they'll actually go to some baseball games and sit their asses in those seats.
Well, like I said, I'll be there April 27th, so there is an extra seat that's taken up right now.
Awesome. So we could put that money
towards
a pitcher or an outfielder in 2014.
Let me know if you guys can be there. You know, we'll all get together and do a remote.
Oh, definitely. I would love that. What was the date again?
April 27th. That's a Saturday. It's a Saturday afternoon game, actually.
I will look into it and get back to you.
Okay.
I think I actually have a party to go to that day, but I'll let you know.
Well, bring the party to Citi Field.
Yeah, that'd be interesting, all those little kids running around. Okay, so one last question. So recently, down in Port St. Lucie, we had the reporters down asking Johan Santana questions and talking about the no-hitter that he had and what have you. So, being that he was the first one to throw a no-hitter in Mets history, they were asking him about it and the potential for more, and he had this to say while looking over at Matt Harvey and Zach Wheeler's lockers: we can probably have a few more around here pretty soon. So, what are the chances that the Mets can see more no-hitters with this new crop of pitching that they're getting? I mean, because everybody's making a big deal of Harvey and Wheeler, and do you think that there's too much pressure being put on the case?
I would be very, very hesitant to do that. I think you make a valid point. I do want to put that kind of pressure, particularly on your team and a young team as you're building. I don't think Santana was out of line in making a statement like that. I think what he's doing is he's playing a good, stand-up role, really, by saying, hey, you know, I'm a veteran guy, and I'm expecting to see this kind of thing in the future. So I kind of like his sentiment and what he said there. You know, will you see that? I think if you continue to build, as we've been talking about now for, what, the past 15 minutes or so, I think you will. Absolutely, you're going to see it.
Okay, so I guess I'll see the next no-hitter in another 50 years. So maybe I'll be, what, 83 if I make it that far? I hope to dear God, no.
You'll get
but
one.
Hey,
you'll get one before then, absolutely.
I hope so.
No, you're going to get one before then.
Oh, since I actually missed the first no-hitter. Oh, son of a gun, man. Really?
Oh, my goodness.
I'm not, the one time I don't watch a doggone game, that's when they decide to get a no-hitter. I was mad.
Oh, Tanya, I got to be at least double your age. At least double your age. I've seen far more than just one, trust me. And that's coming from the Phils.
That's right. Keep rubbing it in. Remember, you already told me you're going to be here April 27th at Citi Field. I know what you look like.
I'm not rubbing it in. I'm trying to make you feel better. I'm being like Johan Santana. I can see you're in the
future. I want to be able to see one when I can actually jump up and down, screaming and hollering, not barely being able to get out of my seat with all my bones cracking and the cane and what have you.
Corral, tell her she's going to see one before too long.
I hope so.
Oh, you're not even convinced.
Yeah.
Listen, we mentioned, we talked about, yeah, you got to believe. But at the same time, we're like, yeah, you know what? We believe all right, but we believe with caution.
You New Yorkers, you got to have attitudes like us Philadelphia fans down here. We're never tough on our team.
No.
Yeah,
not
right.
At all. Well, I'll tell you something. When you come here and you're at Citi Field enjoying the game, what have you, we'll treat you a lot better than the way Philly fans treat us.
Oh, listen to this. Oh, I gotta get Philly fan bashing on the radio. That's all right. Listen, I understand. I'm on your show. That's okay.
Oh, if Jonathan was here, Jonathan would be defending me too.
Oh, trust me. I'm on radio with him 3 days a week. He defends.
You know what? That's actually something we're going to have to work on. We're going to have to get you and Jonathan on with me and Corral.
Oh, that would be priceless.
I think that would make for an awesome show. We might actually have to make that show 2 hours long.
Well, I think what you have to do is you got to get the bug in the ear to Jonathan in advance that he and I have to be completely adversarial, you know, and then it'll really make for great radio.
Oh, that's not a problem, though. You're a Philly fan. He's a Mets fan.
Yeah, but, you know, on our regular show, which is on at 12 o'clock, we're on Monday, Wednesday, Friday at 12 o'clock on Fan Junkies Radio. When we're on our regular show, like you, we try to keep it PG-friendly, and, you know, so we tone it down a bit, and we try to be super professional. But we might just have to let it rock those nights.
I will warn our listeners in advance. And I will have my producer make sure that he edits the show.
The great thing is, and here's what I like. I love to be able to talk passionately about sports with folks like yourself who have a passionate side of your own for your own particular team, and I do for my end, but we can talk rationally and not be screaming at each other. I think that's what we should be doing. That's what sports talk radio should be all about, not getting on and screaming at each other because we just hate each other's teams. That's ridiculous.
I agree. But you know what? We're actually going to get a chance to do that because I do have an announcement to make. Myself, Michael McShane, and Jonathan from Fan Junkies Radio, starting in April, we will be hosting a screencast once a week.
There you go.
Starting in April.
Yep.
And Michael, I do have a time and a day that I was talking with Jonathan, so I will send you that message about it as well.
Yep.
So I'm very excited about this. I think this will be really, really fun. And for those of you who don't know about Screencasting is basically like radio, but
yep,
with video.
It's going to be a lot of fun. Actually, Jonathan gave me a bit of a heads up about it, Tanya, and I'm looking forward to it. And if we could do a point-counterpoint kind of thing, I think that would be fantastic.
You know? I think this is actually going to be some fun. I'm actually very, very excited about it. But, Michael, why don't you, because we do have like 5 minutes before the show's over, why don't you talk about Fan Junkies for a minute? And
well,
about the frat house.
Yep, interesting relationship that we've got going there. Of course, Jonathan and I have been working on Fan Junkies Radio now. It's actually now a radio network because we've got three programs and, in fact, could have four different programs up on Fan Junkies Radio shortly. Fan Junkies Radio with Jonathan and I runs Monday, Wednesday, Friday, as I said, from 12 to 1. That's our regular show where we talk anything and everything sports. On Saturday at 3 o'clock, then, on Fan Junkies Radio, I bring Frat House Saturdays. And then on Tuesdays, Jonathan started up with Brett Clendaniel. They started Wrestle Chat, and that's at 2 o'clock on Tuesdays on Fan Junkies. And, of course, Jonathan is still trying to get going, and I'm sure he's going to get it going. We'll be Ranger Nation will be coming up on Sundays on Fan Junkies. So, we've got four programs lined up right now on Fan Junkies Radio Network. which are all running. I mean, we've got practically every day of the week planned out. 5 minutes at the frat house. Yeah, 5 minutes at the frat house is an interesting is another interesting little kind of side thing that started a year and a half ago, actually, and that's my own thing. It's a video production. Once a week, it's a 30-minute video sports rap production that I do with whether it's four of us involved in it, right here from my location in the suburbs of Philadelphia. And I do it with I've got, like I said, I got two in the production staff, and then I do it with my buddy Sidekick. And that has been running for 77 straight weeks on YouTube. And when you go and check it on YouTube, it is, without a doubt, it is the most consistent sports rap video program production on YouTube. You can find a bunch of others, but they don't run every single week. And we've been there every single week for 77 straight weeks. 5 minutes at the Frat House, you can find it over on YouTube. And that's awesome. Where the Frat House came. That's where the Frat House came from. And we rebroadcast that on Fan Junkies Radio. So all kinds of things going. As you well know, Tanya, you know what it's like. You do the same sort of thing. Yeah, moving in and out.
Yeah. Trying.
Yeah.
Trying, right?
Yeah, you got dabbling this over here a little bit, dabbling that over there a little bit. You know, you get involved in a whole bunch of little projects here and there. So.
Yeah, we all got to do what we got to do, right?
Mm-hmm.
So with that said, Michael, thank you so much for joining Corella and myself on the Five School Show. It was wonderful having you. We would love to have you again.
Thank you very much. I appreciate being here. I've enjoyed it, and I've enjoyed doing all this New York Mets talk. No, it's been a delight. Thank you, folks. I really appreciate it.
Thank you. Have a good night, Michael.
Thanks.
You too.
Have
now.
Good night.
All right. Take care.
All right, Carl. So with 3 minutes to go, he was actually fun. I liked having him on the show tonight.
Yeah, it's a good guess.
What do you have going on the blog? Anything going on this week?
Yep, I got a couple of posts that I'm going to be doing over the next couple of days. I'm going to keep them a secret, though, so everyone's going to have to go to the site, check them out,
really?
Find out what it's all about.
Really, Carl? You always give us at least a hint. Fine. I am actually going to be doing a couple of posts myself this week. I did one video last week, which didn't turn out too bad. Stressed the heck out of my life, but it was fun. But, yeah, I have maybe two posts that I'll be doing this week. One, they'll probably be both done on Thursday. I'll be going to be able to get this for tomorrow since I work. But, yeah. Good things. I'm glad to see that things are going good for you again, Carell, because it's been a while.
Yep.
Wow, I think this is you've suddenly done every show together this year. Right? I don't think we've missed the show together yet.
I think so. I think you're right.
Wow. This is the start of something beautiful. I hope we can keep this trend going. And with that, ladies and gentlemen, I want to thank you all for joining us tonight. I want to thank Michael McShane from Fan Junkies Radio. Definitely check them out on Facebook, fanjunkies.net. You can check them out on Blog Radio as well and on YouTube. With that, ladies and gentlemen, I bid you a good night. Enjoy the rest of your week and your weekend.
Later, guys.